the cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
When you need to talk technology, no one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
And a very hearty, good morning out there in radio land.
Land of transmitters, frequency modulation, and best yet, listening over the internet, because that's how we do things. You can listen to the station.
Yes, you can listen to me right now, in fact. Sometimes radio software gets a little carried away, so I start talking, and then you hear me talking again. Wasn't that sort of cool? Actually kind of enjoyed that, but it's okay when software messes up a little bit. Smartphones aren't quite so smart, and computers don't compute the way they should. We can always turn a few buttons, press a few knobs, or is that press a few buttons, turn a few knobs? That's what I meant to say. And suddenly things sound okay. And, of course, giggle about what occurred. Adam Lepp here with the Tuesday edition of my twice-weekly radio show all about technology here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial and broadcasting online by the power and the magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. And better yet, I'm also broadcasting a live video on Facebook via our Facebook page for the radio station. If you're not already a friend or fan or follower, a lot of F's there. Well, it's almost fall, so why not, right? Please become one. Look up WWGH in Marion, or if you're a friend of mine, that's good. I'm under Adam the Computer Guy, or Adam Lepp in Ohio. Would love to enjoy your virtual friendship as we discuss the topics of the day, ones relating to social media, software, hardware, firmware, operating systems, apps, smartphones that are smart or not so smart, and just about everything else. We are taking your telephone calls. I would absolutely love to hear from you. Give me a call right now, 740-383-9944. And you might ask, well, what would one want to talk about on the Adam the Computer Guy show? Well, maybe your Windows computer, you'd like to throw it out the window because you don't find it serving you much good other than a headache or two. Maybe your server is only serving you headaches, and maybe your software is wearing thin on your nerves, or your printer is only printing gibberish. Or a news article that I've discussed, maybe something going on at Microsoft or Apple or Adobe you wanted to expand on, provide your opinion, or maybe you didn't agree with me. Well, that's all cool here on the show. I would love to hear from you. Again, give me a call, 740-383-9944, or you can leave a comment, question, suggestion, complaint, etc. on our radio station Facebook page or my Facebook page. Nice, crisp, late summer morning here in mid-Ohio. Temperature is warming up rapidly. 15th of August, back to school time this week. Can you believe it? Already. Time certainly flies. August 15th. Holiday season rapidly approaching. And, of course, the big eclipse is coming next week. So for geeky people and science people like myself, certainly that is quite the event, to put it mildly. The Nature Center for the Marion County Park District is open right now until noon. So if you want to check out nature, which is a beautiful feature here in Mid-Ohio, feel free to do that. Of course, bring your radio with you, your Walkman, if they still make those, or I guess you'd call it Walkperson, your portable radio and headphones, so you can listen to the radio station while enjoying the Nature Center. WWGH features great talk radio every single day. We have live programming. We repeat popular programs when there is no live program airing. Coming up next hour, I'm also on the air with a new show that we call Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. a little different than this show. This one we discuss computers and electronic items and technology in medicine and sports and maybe some business news from technology. We have some Microsoft business news coming up for you shortly. But the next hour, we discuss anything and everything. Politics and religion. We can talk about computers and sports. Current events. Science, again, the eclipse, what have you. My special guest is a regular on this show. Dr. Ronald Fineman will be discussing politics, the President-Donald, his golfing vacation, and the unfortunate event in Virginia over the last, took place a few days ago, and some repercussions of that, and how that's going to affect the world we live in. So, many events on the table. Dr. Fineman and I will be discussing them next hour. You have a question for the professor. Again, he is a professor, author, blogger, gentleman with a wealth of knowledge about American history and presidents. Feel free to leave a message on my Facebook or the station's Facebook, and I'll be happy to ask him a question for you or address a comment or a concern. Again, Dr. Fineman on with me next hour for the show called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. This show is on till 10. It's all about computers and technology and electronics and gadgets. Taking your calls again, 740-383-9944. Bill Gates, a gentleman with a lot more money than myself, one of the richest people in the universe. Of course, he's the co-founder, the main guy we think of as the guy that started Microsoft. He used to be the CEO and chairman. He stepped down and certainly a consultant to the company, but not quite in the forefront like he was a few years ago. He's also very generous, and check this out. He has donated 64 million of his shares in the company, and that's valued at $4.6 billion. Now, that donation was made June 6th, about 10 weeks ago. It was recorded in a filing to the United States Security and Exchange Commission. The filing did not reveal the recipient of the donation, but it seems likely that most, if not all of it, went to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is the charitable organization that Bill Gates and his wife Melinda established to oversee their philanthropic efforts around the world. According to Bloomberg, Bill Gates' latest donation is his largest gift of Microsoft shares since 2000 and represents a significant reduction of his stake in Microsoft. Now, 21 years ago, in 1996, Bill Gates had a 24% stake in Microsoft, but following this donation, it's dropped to 1.3%. But that's still quite a bit, considering how much Microsoft is worth. Last month, Bill Gates was briefly overtaken by Jeff Bezos, the head honcho at Amazon, as the world's richest person, before Jeff Bezos' fortune dipped with a fall in Amazon's share price. Even with Bill Gates' recent donation, his fortune is now around $86.1 billion. So even though he donated $4.6 billion of stock in Microsoft, he's still worth $86.1 billion. And that's more than Jeff Bezos from Amazon is worth. And I can assure you that's a lot more than I'm worth. $86.1 billion, that's how much Bill Gates has in his checkbook. Not bad whatsoever. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with the Tuesday edition of my twice-weekly radio show here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. So what else is Bill Gates up to? Besides counting his money, which when you're worth many billions of dollars would probably take a while. Bill Gates has been rather open about his life in the last few years. He has made social media appearances and invested in some projects aside from Microsoft. What else has Bill Gates done recently? Well, he has joined Instagram on Friday of last week, August 11th. Bill Gates officially joined Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, as you probably have heard me talk about. He posted his first image from Tanzania, an African country. He was helping out some people in Tanzania. Again, he's a very, very philanthropic gentleman, a wonderful person, not only a very smart person, again, the main guy that started Microsoft, but he does like to share his wealth, and again, he's very admirable what the gentleman does. Now, Bill Gates has managed to amass 200,000 followers on Instagram. He just joined last Friday. Bill Gates, again, is the richest man in the world, worth over $80 billion. And again, having just joined Instagram, he's using it as a way to show what he and his wife, Melinda, do to better the world. So, very admirable thing that Bill Gates is doing, keeping you up on the latest in happenings with not just technology, but the people behind technology. Adam Lepp here with the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice-weekly feature on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. The Talking Place. We feature news and features, teasers of past, present, and future shows at the top of every hour. So no matter when you listen to our station, the content will be outstanding. So as I say, bring us along in the car, at work, while you're walking around, no matter what you're doing. There's no reason to listen to any other station. Current time in Marion, 26 minutes after 9 in the a.m. Data about who has what diseases holds a lot of clues about the diseases themselves and their causes. We talk about medical technology using computers, statistics, tracking to help solve some of the more mysterious diseases as well as make some more common afflictions easier to diagnose and to treat and hopefully cure. Let's take a trip about 300 miles to the northwest to Chicago. Researchers there undertook a data mining effort to figure out what genetic and environmental patterns that a few dozen common diseases share with each other. The research team gathered data from insurance claims related to more than a third of the U.S. population. They identified about 130,000 families within this data set and found a bunch of well-known as well as newly discovered diseases matching each other that may help to study their causes and identify treatment options from existing knowledge. As an interesting example, which also might be surprising, check this out. The research team, again, they're at the University of Chicago, looking at a relationship between different diseases which may not seem to be related. They showed that migraines seem to be genetically related to irritable bowel syndrome and environmentally related to cystitis and urethritis. And that's a migraine related possibly to IBS and even urethritis, inflammation of the urethra. So some interesting study by some very smart and innovative scientists in nearby Chicago. Of course, they can't immediately use this data in a clinical setting, but perhaps therapies for a condition may be effective for others that turn out to be related. As with the examples I just mentioned, it may turn out that drugs that work for irritable bowel syndrome may also work for addressing migraines. So some innovative work there in Chicago in medical technology and using this kind of knowledge to help solve some diseases which might be a mystery and make treatment easier, less expensive, and less painful. Adam Lepp here, the Computer Guy, with the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Good morning. Thank you very much for listening. Again, feel free to call me to talk today's top technology topics, as I say. The number is 740-383-9944. We talked last week about James Damore, who is now a former employee at Google. He wrote a 3,300-word essay on diversity. His memo put him in the good graces of the alt-right, but he's now distancing himself from the alt-right movement. He told CNN, "I do not support the alt-right. Just because someone supports me does not mean I support them." Many alt-right personalities have expressed their support of James Damore, again, a former Google employee. He was recently fired because he wrote an essay about diversity. Many alt-right personalities have expressed support of him and his document. The document criticized Google for its politically correct monoculture and critiqued Google's efforts to increase staff diversity. James Damore has been photographed in his Gulag shirt by Peter Duke, a photographer who has been called the Annie Leibovitz of the alt-right. A lot of hard names here, but I enjoy the challenge. The coffee always helps me pronounce things better. Now, James Damore's break from the alt-right comes after a white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, turned deadly. And Dr. Feynman and I will be talking about that next hour. Members of the alt-right, who have condemned the violence in Charlottesville, plan to protest outside Google's offices in 9 cities. James Damore said he's, quote, likely not going to participate. Now, even as he clarified his personal political views, James Damore argued adamantly that Silicon Valley is closed off to people it considers conservative. He said, "There's a very strong idea that the left ideology is the only ideology possible. We should be able to express differing opinions. I'm a centrist, and they're calling me a Nazi. That's a real problem." James Damore said he's not alone. He said some of his colleagues are afraid to express their ideologies, but privately conveyed their full support of his memo. He said they literally say they agree with everything I'm saying, and that they don't feel they can bring their whole selves to Google. He said the memo has divided many at Google. So again, he wrote a memo about diversity at Google. He received a termination notice, no longer employed at Google. And now, especially considering some of the recent events, people are expressing support or lack of support for him and what he had to say. Google CEO Sundar Pichai condemned parts of James Damore's post that he said perpetuated stereotypes about women. Some experts have also taken issue with his arguments. Now, James Damore's post claimed that women are not suited for tech jobs for, quote, biological reasons. Men have a higher drive for status, and women have higher rates of anxiety disorders, making for lower numbers of women in high-stress jobs. He said in an interview that he was not, quote, saying anything about the women at Google. He said, "I'm saying that people who go into tech are interested in things versus people generally. As a population, there are fewer women that are interested in things versus people." James Damore said the memo was never meant to be leaked outside of Google, and that if he could change anything, he would eliminate the use of the word, quote, neuroticism. He said, "I would definitely change that because that has a lot of negative connotations." So let me know what you think. Again, he writes a memo at Google about diversity, about women versus men and what kind of jobs they prefer, and he receives a termination notice. 740-383-9944. One of my other regular co-hosts, Nick CJ from Wales, talked about women in technology jobs last hour, and it's always an interesting topic, as we're certainly seeing more women becoming programmers, as well as scientists, server managers, designers, but it's still, those are lines of work that are still mostly male. And is there a reason why? Is there a difference in men's brains versus women's brains? Or has society said women should not really be programmers, that it's a man's job? Certain fields like nursing and law used to be dominated by one gender over another, and now we're pretty much equal. As I said, in some law schools, actually there are more females than males. And nursing, when I was a kid, was mostly a woman's job, but now we're seeing it about half and half, and at some places, more men than women. So, is technology lagging behind some other fields in gender diversity, inequality? Always an interesting topic. I'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. 35 minutes after 9 in the a.m. on a beautiful late summer day in Mid-Ohio. You're listening to me, Adam Lepp, the computer guy, with the Tuesday edition of my twice weekly radio show. So what else is going on in the world of technology? There's been talk about elections being hacked by possibly foreign countries. Increased use of open source software. Software that is at no charge, where the code is freely distributed and people are encouraged and welcome to modify the code to their own needs, versus the more closed coding done by a Microsoft program or a program for an Apple or an iPhone. So anyway, increased use of open source software could increase U.S. election system security. And that's according to an editorial published last week in the New York Times. R. James Woolsey, the former head of the CIA, made his case for open source elections software after security researchers demonstrated how easy it is to crack some election machines in the voting machine hacking village staged at a recent hacking conference in Las Vegas. He said, despite its name, open source software is less vulnerable to hacking than the secret black box systems like those used in polling places now. That's because anybody can see how open source systems operate. Bugs can be spotted and remedied, deterring those who would attempt an attack. So we're seeing open source software more secure than the software that is not openly provided with code and allowing people to make changes or customize. So, interestingly, not only is open source software free, it's also considered to be more secure, especially for things like voting software. And I would actually agree with that, since I work with Linux, an open source operating system, on our email server, on our web server, and other servers that I manage and consult with. And I can assure you it is more secure. And when the code is available to people that can modify it, many good things can happen when a lot of smart people work together. In fact, open source software like Linux versus Windows or Macintosh has proven to be so reliable and secure that it's being used by the U.S. Defense Department, by NASA, and the U.S. Air Force. Now, despite the benefits of open source software, Microsoft and other companies selling proprietary voting systems have lobbied aggressively against moving to open source. If the community of proprietary vendors, including Microsoft, would support the use of open source model for elections, we could expedite progress toward secure voting systems. And that comes from a former CIA chief, R. James Woolsey, who wrote an editorial in the New York Times earlier this month. There is a role for proprietary software. That's a counterpoint. Comes from Lawrence Rosen, an intellectual property attorney with Rosen's Law and Einschlag, and former general counsel for the Open Source Initiative. He told Linux Insider magazine that everything doesn't have to be open source, but when we're talking about elections software that requires the confidence of the voters, that's different from whether my car radio is proprietary or not. So, voting software being changed perhaps to open source to keep security as tight as possible, and I would tend to agree with that. Again, it's a bit of a biased opinion since I use open source software every day, but I do think it is more secure, and by not keeping the code hush-hush, smart people, people smarter than myself certainly have ways to make sure that it stays secure and does what it's supposed to do as efficiently and economically as possible. HBO, Home Box Office, which is owned by Time Warner, they admitted earlier this month that they had been targeted by a cyber attack, confirming an anonymous email that the alleged hackers distributed to media outlets. Among the content that may have been hacked were upcoming episodes of the series Ballers, Barry, and Room 104, along with script outlines of the channel's hit show Game of Thrones. A lot of my friends play Game of Thrones and watch Game of Thrones. And HBO may have been a victim of a hacking for that popular show. In total, check this out. These HBO hackers may have obtained 1.5 terabytes, that's 1,500 gigabytes, of internal company documents. However, they apparently did not access any actual episodes of Game of Thrones, and no upcoming episodes have appeared online. Some of the hacked content was listed in a Reddit inventory that since has been deleted. HBO quickly downplayed the attack. It was unlikely that their email system had been hacked, according to CEO Richard Plepler in an email to HBO employees. Now, you might ask, is this the first time that a media company, a pay TV channel like HBO, has been hacked? Well, it's not the first time. Earlier this year, hackers obtained episodes from the then-upcoming season 5 of the Netflix series, popular series, Orange is the New Black, and threatened to release the content unless a ransom was paid. Netflix refused to pay and accepted that some episodes were leaked online. Now, Sony remains the biggest Hollywood hack victim. Back in 2014, approximately 100 terabytes, 100,000 gigabytes of data was uploaded to the internet. It included employee emails, personal financial data, and some film content. Now, that hack reportedly was carried out by hackers working on behalf of North Korea in response to the studio's then new film, The Interview, which offered a satirical look into the so-called Hermit Kingdom. Now, the common denominator in these hacks is that the companies involved all have been rather coy about the amount of information they were willing to share. Jim Pertilo, associate professor in the computer science department at the University of Maryland, said, "As with many such things, probably the details that are public today tell only a small part of the story." He said companies have every incentive to remain as terse as possible, since they are looking at their liability, their overall corporate branding, and of course their need not to connect too many dots for intruders who might not fully appreciate what they ripped off. "I have not yet offhand heard much on the intrusion mechanism. We won't know a reason until some arrest would be made but at this point, I'd presume that this was just another target of opportunity. And that comes from Professor Jim Pertilo from University of Maryland. He's in the computer science department, about HBO and Sony and other media companies falling victim to hacking. And hackers target many companies, many people. You can never really be safe enough against hacking, and Sony had a well-publicized attack over 3 years ago. Talking about an HBO hack where some of their content was leaked online, including the very popular Game of Thrones. Charles King, a technology expert we also quote often, who knows anything and everything about this stuff, certainly much more than I do. Here's what he had to say. At first glance, the HBO hack has the look of a smash-and-grab event where intruders took what looked interesting and valuable and then vamoosed. Though links to a pair of Game of Thrones episodes have cropped up, the stolen data mainly consisted of company documents, including employee emails, personnel records, and scripts of a few unaired HBO shows. Jim McGregor, another expert we quote often, from Turios Research said, you have to understand that the reasons hackers attack certain sites vary greatly. Hackers are often very similar to mountain climbers. They do it just because it's there and it's a challenge. I would suspect that it is likely driven just to give access to HBO content. But with the amount of information taken, they may have gotten much more, including HBO internal documents and customer data. So what's on the horizon for hacking risks at companies like HBO? Given the fact is so expensive to produce and that it routinely is pirated, it is rather questionable at this point whether future hackers will consider it valuable enough to exploit. Again, Jim McGregor from Turios Research, an expert we quoted earlier, said hacking can also be a business model where the information taken is held for ransom. Whatever the reason, no company is really off limits today. But the bigger and more prominent that you are, the bigger target that you become for a wider variety of hackers. Given the growing volume of original content from HBO, as well as its competitors like Netflix and Amazon, this hacking event at HBO could signal an escalation of attacks against independent entertainment vendors and platforms. Attacks may not be driven by financial need, by hackers' desire to either get a ransom from the company to prevent that content from being leaked, to, of course, selling it to users. It could be politically or socially motivated. Charles King, again, he's with Pundit, the expert we quoted earlier, said, HBO's hackers appear to be unmotivated by political or other fundamental issues. That makes the event quite different from the 2014 Sony hack executed by the, quote, Guardians of Peace, who were later identified as North Korea-supported hackers who are retaliating against Sony's film The Interview, which parodied North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un. Unless HBO's hackers release more damaging or controversial data, or are aided by WikiLeaks, this hacking event is likely to be less disruptive than the Sony hack. That said, it should still inspire Netflix, Amazon, and others in the entertainment and film industries to examine and shore up their network security or be the next in line to be hacker targets. Interesting stuff there about the risk of hacking in many different industries, including media companies like HBO and Sony. Let me know what you think. Would you be less likely to order and pay for HBO, knowing that their security is probably not very tight? Give me a call right here in the studio. Love to hear from you. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with the Tuesday edition of my twice-weekly radio show here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial and broadcasting online via the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. If you do listen through your mobile device, you can go to the website and, of course, click on the Listen Now button. But the best way is to use the TuneIn app, a free download on your Android or Apple, iPhone, smartphone. Yes, a phone that's smart listens to WWGH. So download the TuneIn app if you don't already. I'm talking too fast. Download the TuneIn app. Much better if you've not already done that. Search for WWGH. See, I was so excited. That's why I was talking fast. Bookmark it. Make it a favorite. Then when you want to listen, just click on the little triangle thingy, as I call it. And voila! We are on the air on your favorite smart device. I listen to the gym all the time in the car. So even if I'm not here in Marion, I can have the pleasure of hearing the dulcet tones of Scott, Charlie, Linda, Paul Savage, host of Heaven Express, along with his lovely wife, Glenna, and of course, even myself, as we're on 24/7 for your listening pleasure. Coming up to 9:51 in the a.m., right here at the studio, at 5590 Center Street in historic Marion, Ohio. Of course, if I sound hungry, I want to remind you that a Ponderosa Steakhouse and Buffet has opened near Menards on the east side, far east side of Marion. And I will be dining there right after my second show. I'd say I'll arrive about 20 after 11, just like I did last week. And it is quite tasty if you've not been there already. It's a very positive move for Marion. We now have several buffets with great food in this fine city. And I think it's a very positive step. It's been rather busy there, and 99% of the reviews have been strong. So I'll be eating there. And of course, when I go to a buffet, I get my money's worth, just like I did last week. I think I had 4 plates. I'm going to try to have 5 today. But that's how we roll. Being behind the microphone tends to make me hungry. And I'm hardly still a growing boy, but staying healthy by eating a good variety of foods, and they have all kinds of healthy stuff there, including 2 different kinds of liver, and I love liver. My mama always told me to eat my liver, that it's good for you and tasty, and to this day, I still feel the same way. So anyway, lots of great dining options, including a new one, Ponderosa, here in Marion. Very positive step. It was well anticipated for a few weeks before opening. It's now open, and myself and other connoisseurs of fine restaurant food could not be happier. Coming up this Saturday, August 19th, Paleontology in the Park, between 1 and 5:30 p.m. at the Tall Grass Trailhead, 2093 Holland Road West. For children and adults of all ages, no charge. Again, Saturday, the 19th, 1 to 5:30 p.m. at the Tallgrass Trailhead, 2093 Holland Road West. Also, on the last Saturday of the month, the Vietnam Veterans of America, Chapter 1117, breakfast, between 7:30 and 10:30 in the a.m. Next one will be on the 26th, which is the last Saturday, at the VFW, 1614 Marion, Marysville Road. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with the twice-weekly radio show, Tuesday edition, called the Adam the Computer Guy Radio Show. We, of course, archive all of our broadcast appearances. In fact, every show we broadcast, pretty much since January of last year, which is when I started at the station, is available on our website at WWGH1071.com. Just go to the show archives section to listen on demand. We oftentimes give away prizes on this station. Tickets to the zoo, COSI, other events, food, and always a surprise or two. You can only win a prize every 30 days. You must pick up your prize at our studio, 559 East Center Street, basement office, right under the Beltone Hearing Aids Center. You must pick it up within 10 days of the day that you won the prize. We are open 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. during the week. You must be at least 18, and WWGH management reserves the right to question any and all distribution of prizes. In addition, at approximately 8:10, 10:10 in the a.m., and 12:10 and 4:10 in the p.m. every day, we are the only station in Marion airing a complete obituary report. And as you may know, yours truly is the producer and voicer of the obituaries, which we, again, offer four times a day, every day, here on The Talking Place, the only station in Marion to provide that service. WWGH Radio. Why listen to any other station? I don't know why anybody would, because we have so many great things going on. News, information, and some locally produced talk shows, as well as frequent guests by celebrities and nationally known commentators. Speaking of nationally known commentators, next hour, I have another show. Yep, that's me, Adam Lepp, but it's not called the Adam the Computer Guy Show, because we do talk about computers sometimes, but anything and everything is an acceptable topic. And we call the show Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Not the most creative name in the world, but I thought it might convey the message of what the show is about. You can talk about politics, sports, of course, computers, the environment, the eclipse, religion, controversial topics, gay rights, abortion, you name it. We can talk about it. Take your call, 740-383-9944. Again, pick a topic. A lot of things going on in the world around us, and I'm happy to talk about them with you. We often have special guests, commentators. And today, it is a regular commentator, a gentleman who knows a lot, and I do mean a lot, about U.S. presidents, all 44 of them, or 45, depending upon how you count the presidents, since Grover Cleveland was a president who was president, then there was another president, then he was president again. So again, 44 or 45, depending upon how you count the presidents. He's an expert on the presidents and American history and politics. He has great opinions and is an interesting guy to have on the show. Dr. Ronald Fineman on with me next hour as part of Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. We'll be discussing the tragic events in Charlottesville that occurred a few days ago. Of course, the current rumblings, ramblings, and tumblings, and mumblings in Washington, D.C. And of course, there's always a surprise or two. So join me and Dr. Fineman coming up in about 15 minutes, about 13 minutes or so after 10 in the a.m. Mid-morning coffee break with Adam. Coming up later in the day, shortly after 11 o'clock, it is the lovely Linda Sims. And she's on with two shows during the week. And today she'll be on between approximately 11:13 a.m. and noon. Taking your telephone calls at 740-383-9944. Always an interesting show when Linda is behind the microphone. Check this out. Scott Spears, one of my fellow managers at the station, and of course, the program director. He's on with a show called Now. It's not on now. It's on between approximately 12:13 a.m. and 12:13 p.m. P.M. Goodness sakes. And two today. First hour, he will be joined by the media director of the group against Issue 2 in Ohio. And that is Dale Butland. Between about 12:13 p.m. and 1. And then, between 1:13 p.m. and 2. He will be joined by American White Nationalist founder and editor of American Renaissance, Jared Taylor. Certainly a timely guest considering the recent events in this country. Jared was on earlier this year with Scott. He'll be joining him again, and that all starts in approximately 3 hours and 15 minutes. Great programming. Again, controversial topics. We're not afraid to discuss them because they're part of the world that we live in. And I invite you to keep your radio tuned on WWGH Radio all day. Not just today, but every day. For great comments, great commentary, great news information, always a surprise or two. And again, every 30 days, you can win a prize on this station. Adam Lepp wrapping up the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. About 13 seconds left. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned for news, features, obituaries, voiced and produced by yours truly, promotional announcements, and much more. And I'll talk to you next hour. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.
Listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.